Don't miss the draft Thursday night from Barclays in Brooklyn. Oklahoma State's Cade Cunningham looks to be number one. After that, there are a lot of questions that will all be answered 8 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. Delighted to have you with us here from the Seaport District in New York City, brought to you by Chase. I am Greeny. We are busy. It's a huge day in the NFL, so let's get right to it. Starting hour number two, it's time to Get Up with Aaron. Makes his way to Green Bay on decision day. You need to know everything, so we've got Shefty for you live right off the top. Then, another quarterback with plenty to prove begins chapter number two. Can he make the Colts champions in season number one? And then, the most important partnership in the AFC gets another chance. Is this finally the year for Odell and the Browns? We've got answers to all those questions as we get up with you, starting right now in Green Bay, where camp opens today. And Aaron Rodgers has arrived in Green Bay. That we know for certain. You see local television footage there of Rodgers and his plane arriving late last night. And then you will see him being chauffeured away, if you will, in a car. The Packers and Rodgers have mutually agreed upon some terms that are close to persuading him to return for the Packers this season. Adam Schefter is the man covering all of this and has been on top of it since it began, really, on the day of the NFL draft. Schefty, where are we right now?
Well, Greeny, as you saw right there, Aaron Rodgers is back in Green Bay, which 1 week ago, some people did not expect to see happen. But what happened is over the weekend, the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers got together, and the Packers offered certain concessions to help lure Aaron Rodgers back to Green Bay. Those concessions included voiding the final year in his contract, 2023, promising that there would be no franchise tag involved in the future, creating more cap room this year without taking away any of Aaron Rodgers' pay, and putting into place certain mechanisms, and this is where the devil will be in the details, certain mechanisms that will allow Aaron Rodgers to choose where he wants to play in 2022. And that is the most significant concession of all of them that they're still going over with Aaron Rodgers, in a deal that essentially is agreed to, still has not been signed, still has not been finalized. The two sides are trying to work through that today, and the sense and expectation is that they will, because otherwise Aaron Rodgers would not have flown to Green Bay in the early morning hours today. But again, they still need to get through some final details there before Aaron Rodgers agrees to go back into the building. They'll try to get that hammered out and finalized today, and that will set up one more season, assuming it gets done, with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, with him having the chance to choose where he would like to play in 2022.
So again, the part about his ability to choose where he goes. You said it great last week, Shefty, when you said he told the Packers he'll give them a start date when they give him an end date. So it sounds like they're all sort of agreeing that, assuming he still wants that, the end date will be after this season and before the next one. What, if anything, do we know about what that mechanism is? Because that's really the complicated part of this.
Well, again, they have agreed, I think the two sides, to allow Aaron Rodgers to have that freedom. We don't have the specific language of that just yet, Greeny. And there are certain things, certain NFL rules that prohibit it from being said a certain way. And so we'll have to see exactly how it's said. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to say, I want to go play for the Minnesota Vikings a la Brett Favre, and that's going to happen. I think the Green Bay Packers will be offered certain protection as well. But the reason that they voided 2023 and not 2023 and 2022 is so that if Aaron Rodgers decides that he does want to be traded after this season, that the Green Bay Packers then would be able to recoup compensation in return. And Aaron Rodgers couldn't just walk out the door the way that Tom Brady did in New England once the Patriots allowed him to void the last year of his deal. And so the Packers are preserving some of their rights and some of their ability to try to help build a winning roster in the future, while Aaron Rodgers is expected to have the ability to choose where he wants to play in 2022. And again, Greeny, if he had stayed away now, which absolutely was on the table as of last week, and which I think was the way this was trending, if he had stayed away, now it becomes a public stare down, a public showdown. He's being fined. There are issues that develop every day, animosity that builds. And so I think both sides essentially have agreed to table that for the time being, to put it aside for the betterment of both sides, to play this season when the Packers should have a playoff contending, Super Bowl contending type of roster, and to steal Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams' phrase, essentially have one last dance to try to make more magic in Green Bay.
It's remarkable. As I bring in Orlovsky and Tannenbaum today, that makes all the sense in the world, and yet it seemed exactly not what Aaron Rodgers was headed towards wanting to do. And so, Danny, I just want to give you the floor. I was reading your notes, and you and I were talking about it earlier today. What is your just big-picture reaction to this?
We all owe Brian Gutekunst, their general manager, an apology because, I mean, he hit a home run. Like, this is incredible as far as a win for their front office. And the saying is, you can't have your cake, you need it too, and he's having both. I actually checked it. It's an English proverb or a figure of speech, so to speak, is they're simultaneously having their young quarterback that he drafted in the first round be groomed without telling Aaron Rodgers. They get to keep him on the sideline while he learns, but also we've got a Super Bowl caliber roster, and we keep the MVP of the NFL who was unhappy up until 2 days ago. We get to have both of those. I mean, it's a huge win for the Packers front office and Brian Gutekunst, and it just feels like it was a relatively big swing and miss by Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he just doesn't get much. Sure, he gets to get out of the organization if he wants after the season, but it's not like he can control exactly where he wants to go. They're still going to trade him, and they're still going to get compensation for it.
Yeah, and again, until we get the devil in those details from Shefty, we don't know exactly what that mechanism will be. But Mike Tannenbaum, again, as a general manager in two different NFL places yourself, do you agree? Did the Packers, if there's a winner and a loser to be named in this, do the Packers come out of this a big winner?
100%, and those details may make them a winner next year because, let's be clear, these details could change our sport. We heard Rob Domofsky talk about, are we the NBA? Well, if Aaron Rodgers could walk out the door unfettered next year, he's the big winner, but I'm skeptical. I just don't think that's what's going on here. And if Green Bay controls where he goes next year, not only did they win this year, but they won bigger next year. And ironically, a decade ago when we dealt with this at the Jets, we were able to get Brett Favre because Green Bay simply was not going to trade Brett Favre within the NFC. And I'm sure they're thinking the exact same thing now with Aaron Rodgers. So maybe there is a trade next year. We have to see what happens, but we have to see the details in this contract because simply, if he's under contract next year and they change their mind, Aaron Rodgers could be right back where we are today, a year from now, because he just can't walk out the door the way Tom Brady did in 2019 following that season from the Patriots.
All right, so Rob Domofsky, who was our Packers reporter, was on with us about a half hour ago, for those of you just joining us here, and said that there is a team meeting at noon Central Time, so that's 1 o'clock Eastern Time. So as we speak, that's about 4 hours away. We don't know yet with whether or not Rodgers will be there. That obviously will be an enormous signal as to where this thing is going. In the meantime, this is a football story. It's about a lot more things than football. But assuming this does mean he's playing for the team this year, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the team that beat them in the NFC Championship game last year, are considered to be the favorites in the NFC. Let's talk about what this means for the power structure in that conference. Mike T., I will start with you. With the assumption that Rodgers now is going to be playing for the Packers for this last dance, what team, in your opinion, is the biggest threat to Tampa Bay in the NFC right now?
The Dallas Cowboys. I've been in this situation before. When a player has one foot out the door, he's not going to be the same guy. He won't have that same level of focus. And Dan Quinn will be a huge addition to the Dallas Cowboy defense. They'll be top five on offense. They'll be middle of the road on defense. Dan Quinn replaced Mike Nolan in 2015 at the Atlanta Falcons. They had a massive improvement. Dan Quinn replaces Mike Nolan in 2021 in Dallas. Their defense will have a massive improvement. They'll be in the championship game against the Buccaneers.
They get new players on defense? Or
what
like
can
they,
I say? I mean, the Cowboys remain unbeaten in July. Every year in July, they're just this good. Let me come to Danny next. Dan, what team is the biggest threat to the Buccaneers in the NFC?
Yeah, first of all, they better be top five on offense. They got a lot of money invested. Stop talking to me about their defense. I've been saying the Washington football team. I think if that we go forward and we write the headline of who might knock them off, it will read the Washington football team giantly turned back the hands of time in their front four dominates Tampa's offense. And I think that's the only way to beat Tampa. I think this defense will be the best defense in football. It's the best defensive line in football. William Jackson, the addition at corner's huge. Davis, the draft pick out of Kentucky, should be a really good player. And their offense could be the fastest offense in football. Fitzy's going to play good. Their offensive line is better than people think. One team that could go knock off Tampa, or the most equipped to do it, is Washington.
I agree. And yesterday at this time, that would have been my pick.
Correct.
But if Aaron Rodgers is playing for the Green Bay Packers, I have to go with them. I mean, they were there, and they are that, and they've got that guy. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick and think he will play better than most people think. He won't play as well as Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers last year was the best player in the sport, and there's no obvious reason to me why he shouldn't be again. Now, I have no idea what impact all of this offseason mess will have on him or on them on the field. But I don't see any obvious reason to think, considering they were right there with home field advantage against Tampa last year and made a questionable decision to kick a field goal late, Danny, and a lot of other just sort of crazy things that happened in that game. Remember the touchdown that it scored right before halftime by Tampa and everything else. To me, it has to be the Packers.
This is what I would say about the Packers. It's a championship roster. It's not a championship team anymore. And that's my feeling. I just don't see how everything that has transpired this offseason between Aaron Rodgers and this organization and team, and the unknowing or the not knowing of what's going to happen, the drama, the distraction that is not going away. It will be a conversation every single week. I don't see how it's a championship team going forward.
It is certainly possible. That's why I say I don't know what impact it's going to have on them. I watched Jordan and Pippen do it up close and personal, you know, 20-something years ago. We'll see if Rodgers and Devontae can do the same thing. Speaking of which, let's take a look at some other training camp situations, and it does start with Davante Adams. More or less, Dan, Devontae, 12.5 touchdown catches this season. You going more or less?
I'm going to say less. He's done it twice in the last 3 years. He had 13 and 18 and then 18 touchdown catches last year. It's just so hard to do. I'm going to put him at 12. I think the addition of Amari Rodgers out of Clemson in the third round for them gives him another pass-catching threat, especially down in the red zone out of the slot. He's going to have another huge season. I'm going to put him at 12 touchdowns. I'll say, less.
I like it. Mike, back to your favorite team, the Cowboys. More or less, 9.5 rushing touchdowns for Ezekiel Elliott. Which way do we go?
Well, after that bold prediction, of course it has to be more for a couple reasons. He looks great. He looks like he's in the best shape of his career. But more importantly, they're getting back three offensive linemen in Zach Martin, Lael Collins, and Tyron Smith, who combined missed 36 games. Those are three frontline offensive linemen. Big improvement in the run game.
All right, and then one more. Reminder, Julio Jones is now a Tennessee Titan. So, Dan, more or less, 6.5 touchdown catches for Julio.
Yeah, I'm going with less. He's done that once. He's had more than 6.5 touchdowns in a season once in the last 5 seasons. He is still going to be an incredibly impactful player for their offense, but A.J. Brown is their guy. I would put Julio Jones right around 5 or 6 touchdown catches this year. That will be a tremendous impact, but A.J. Brown's their guy, and he hasn't done it in 5 years. I'll say less.
I'm with that on 100%. Meanwhile, speaking of receivers, we have another one to get to as we continue. Odell Beckham said words all Browns fans want to hear. Just win, baby. Why that wish may come at some personal cost, that's on the way. Then Carson Wentz, a fresh start in Indy. How far can he take a sneaky good team this year? Those are the questions. We've got the answers. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Just spread your wings and fly,
'cause we all know tonight is the night. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up and back with Adam Schefter. Schefty, let's run the hurry up through a bunch of other NFL stories, beginning with Michael Thomas.
Well, Green, the Saints officially placed Michael Thomas, the wide receiver, on the PUP list, physically unable to perform list to open training camp. Obviously, still recovering from the surgery he had in June on that ankle. Expect to miss some time. Obviously could not take part in training camp. We'll see how long it takes Thomas to get back, but the sense is he's going to miss at least the early portion of this upcoming season. And the Washington football team took care of one of its own yesterday. Jonathan Allen, one of the outstanding young defensive linemen in the game, gets a four-year, $72 million extension with the Washington football team. They tie him down on one of the best units in all of football, the Washington defensive front. Jonathan Allen, Chase Young, lots of talent up there on an upstart Washington football team. And, of course, the big story now that Aaron Rodgers is on the verge of being settled is Deshaun Watson. There's the ongoing legal situation in which Deshaun Watson continues to maintain his innocence while 22 civil lawsuits continue to move forward while the NFL and Houston police investigate. Houston is willing to listen to other teams' offers for Deshaun Watson, but other teams have not yet made the types of offers because Houston really isn't engaging in active trade talks to get something done, in part because there are so many legal questions here. Really a messy situation in a lot of different ways that doesn't have an obvious outcome. And Houston right now, I guess, is trying to figure out what to do and how to move forward.
Yeah, it's such a complicated one even to talk about because the issues we're dealing with are so much more significant than any football could ever be. But I saw the note yesterday from your podcast that one of the members of Watson's tight inner circle said he expects him to be traded in the next few days. And so that we are very much on the lookout for that, yes?
And that was the Deshaun Watson's private quarterback coach, Quincy Avery. And in talking to him on Friday, in the middle of the day this past week, he said, I expect Deshaun Watson to be traded Sunday, as in 2 days ago. And so I said, this Sunday? He said, yes. And he said that he's 100% certain that Deshaun Watson will be traded, that the Texans have made the decision to move on from him. And while, again, that seems to be the league-wide consensus and opinion that they will move on from him, they have yet to engage other teams in active trade discussions as of this morning. Now, again, that could change today, but it still has not changed at all. Houston is not actively shopped Deshaun Watson at a time when other teams are interested in hearing what the Texans would want back in return and whether they would have the chance to make the type of offer it would take. Houston is expected, as Mort said yesterday, to be looking for some combination of picks and players, a mammoth blockbuster type size offer. But other teams really have not been engaged by the Texans, so it's moving along very slowly right now.
And so let me bring Mike and Dan back into this. And again, Mike T, as a general manager in two different places yourself, and we can speculate all we want. Is it the Eagles who might be interested? Is it the Dolphins? We don't know any of that as of this moment. But Mike T, if you're running one of those places and you are interested, these, of course, are such complicated circumstances. How do you proceed?
Well, on parallel tracks, I'm calling Nick Caserio all the time. Any updates? What's your time frame? I'm also speaking, obviously, to our owner, our head coach. And because it's a criminal situation, until that's resolved, you really can't make a trade. Sure, you could talk about putting conditions in a contract about his eligibility, such as we'll give 3 first-round picks if he plays 75% or more of the snaps this year. It goes down to 2 first-round picks if he doesn't play this year. You could have those conversations, but until his eligibility is clarified by the league, there's really not much you can do with another team until you know that.
Danny, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't care what the Houston Texans say. I am not doing anything unless I'm attached to information that I'm comfortable with. And I better be 100% comfortable with the information as an organization of what you're hearing in regards to what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson off the field. I'm speaking as a player in the locker room. I would want that out of my organization. I would hope and pray that my organization figured out exactly what was going to happen with the league and what the findings were in the allegations, because I'm a husband, I've got a daughter, I would want to feel comfortable with that. I'd also want our locker room to be ready to handle what was going to come with that. Our organization, our front office, our coach, our leaders, our PR and media relations staff, you better be equipped to handle what might come if you choose to trade for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it's such a complicated, as I say, it's a football story that is about so much more than just football. We'll wait and see what develops there. In the meantime, let's do On the Clock. I got a few other questions for these gentlemen. And Shefty, I'm starting with you. As you talk to people around the league, we just picked all the favorites in the NFC. No one here said the Rams. So give me 30 seconds on what the people you talk to around the league, what their expectations are for Matthew Stafford in Los Angeles.
Listen, I think a lot of people expect that he's going to thrive, and a lot of people feel like with Cam Akers rupturing his Achilles last week and now missing the season, Matthew Stafford is in a situation not unlike the ones he had in Detroit. In fact, there was one Rams coach that walked past him and said, oh, so you're not going to have a running game again? That seems to be a common joke with Matthew Stafford, but the expectation is he's going to be elevated in L.A. He's going to be a star in L.A., and the Rams, I think, will be very competitive in a tight NFC West.
All right, we'll see what happens there. Meantime, Mike T., let me come back to you. You love the Cowboys in the NFC East. I want to talk about the Washington football team. Will they get more Fitzmagic or Fitztragic from their quarterback this year? 30 seconds, go.
Fitzmagic, Greeny, and I agree with you on this one. When you look at their playmakers, okay. Terry McLaurin, to me, is a frontline number one. Curtis Samuel, extremely explosive, and Antonio Gibson, out of the backfield, is a dynamic playmaker. I think the offensive line will be young and improved, and because of all those weapons and a good offensive line, I think we're going to see a really good Ryan Fitzpatrick this year.
Well, then I don't understand you. I don't have time to start digressing here, man. But they have maybe the best defense in football, and you're telling me how good their offense is. Don't get me started.
Because Dak is better. Dak is a top five quarterback. They have a better offense.
I have to get to to Dan's question here. Dan, 30 seconds. How far will Carson Wentz take the Colts this season? 30 seconds, go.
Yeah, division winners and winning a playoff football game. Two reasons why. Competency and confidence. I think this is a competent organization, and he is going to gain his confidence back. This team, roster-wise, offensively, looks a lot like the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles. Dominant offensive line, no superstar, but a bunch of really good pieces. And I'll use a baseball analogy. He doesn't have to go up there and try to hit home runs every at-bat like he did last year. There's plenty of good batters around him. Just hit a bunch of singles, and you'll get a ton of RBIs.
Yeah, the hero plays have always been the questions with Carson Wentz. Maybe we'll see a limitation on those. I agree. It's a really good team, but the conference is just loaded top to bottom. Speaking of which, the Cleveland Browns are another of the teams in that conference. They have the talent to challenge anyone, but why an understanding between their quarterback and their star receiver might be the key to the whole thing. That's next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we're back on Get Up and some more or less looking ahead to the season. And Mike Tannenbaum, I'm starting with you. 13 and a half rushing touchdowns for King Henry, Derrick Henry, more or less?
Less. And I love Derrick Henry, but with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, I think they're going to throw the ball a lot in the red zone. So his production is going to go down, but they're going to be harder to defend on offense.
Yeah, that's a team that gonna look awful scary getting off the bus. Dan, next to you, more or less 10 and a half touchdown catches for Travis Kelce.
I'm gonna say more. You know, this team lost Sammy Watkins, who is really like their kind of third or fourth pass catching option, and they don't necessarily have somebody that's stepped into that role and kind of embraced it yet. Mecole Hardman, maybe. So I think that Travis Kelce, who's obviously a featured part of their offense, will be even more so. This offensive line is going to give Patrick Mahomes a ton of time. Think of him scrambling in the red zone. I expect Kelce to push up towards 15 touchdown catches this season.
Big numbers. Mike, next up, rookie Najee Harris in Pittsburgh. More or less, 6.5 rushing touchdowns.
Less. I'm not sure if I mentioned. I think Pittsburgh is going to struggle this year. And they're missing three offensive linemen. That is hard to do. I've tried to do that. When you have to replace three offensive linemen, that is almost impossible to do in 1 year. With an aging Ben Roethlisberger, he's going to see a lot of eight-man spacing in the run game. I like Najee Harris, but not this year in terms of a lot of production.
Okay, we'll see. And then finally, Dan, more or less 5.5 touchdown catches for Odell Beckham Jr.
More. And I'm actually going to say that Odell is going to have 6 touchdown catches of 25 yards or more. That is one thing this offense is lacking, is big chunk pass plays down the field. They were tied for New England last year in 25-yard catches at 25th in the NFL. OBJ gives them that explosive element in their pass game, especially in the play action aspect. I expect a huge season out of Odell this year.
All right, well, let's talk about him for a minute because his situation is a fascinating one. The Browns training camp opens today along with most of the other teams, and the health of OBJ is one of the big storylines. Of course, the season was cut short by a torn ACL last October. He was talking on Sunday about his expectations for this Browns team. I want you to listen to what he said.
It's just something that feels special about this team, something that feels special with the city. Watching the Bucks win a championship, you know, inspires you even more. It's like Cleveland needs a championship, and I think that's the goal, that's the mentality in that building, and that's, you know, what I want to be a part of.
You know, Dominique Foxworth made a really good point on this show about that yesterday. He said frequently when a star player comes back, he's talking about, wait till you see how many touchdowns I catch. Wait till you see all the things I'm going to do. The fact that he's talking about team success, Dominique interpreted as a good sign. But, Dan, what do you think the return of Odell means for his team and in particular for his quarterback?
It's a huge challenge for Baker Mayfield because Baker's mindset needs to be, I have to play quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, not try to be buddy with OBJ. And that's really what happens when they're on the field together. When a quarterback gets a play, you dictate, or the defense dictates to you where you go with the football. It doesn't matter who's on the field for you offensively. Now, there's situations when an offensive play caller is going to go, hey, this, we're going to have these package of plays that we're going to try to get Odell the ball. But sometimes the defense does not allow that. And just because he's your boy or he's your buddy, I've got to try to appease him because he knows this play is for him, doesn't mean you force it to him. And Baker's really got to stay focused on, listen, this is the play call, and I'm just going to operate it because that's my job. You're a good enough player. There's 35 pass plays a game for us. You're a good enough player where you're going to have the opportunity to get your looks. And I will do my job given what the defense is telling me to do on that play, but it can't be about that buddy friendship relationship. That's where, as a quarterback, you got to draw the line. You got to draw the line being, my job is to lead this offense the best that I can. And whether that's 2 catches for you or 10 catches for you, that's not most important. Lead the football team, Baker, and that's a big challenge.
But Dan, how as a quarterback, how hard is that with a personality as big as Odell? Like I recall when John Elway retired, in his retirement speech, he thanked Shannon Sharp, and in that he said, I know you're open, I know you're open, which I always have thought was funny, because the point is, you know, Odell is coming back to the huddle, as all the great ones do, and saying, I'm open on every single play. How hard is that for the quarterback to straddle that line?
It's a huge challenge. It's probably one of the biggest things. Once you, like, establish yourself as a good player to really manage that relationship, I would say this. When Baker or the play call comes in and it's kind of geared towards trying to get OBJ the ball and it's not there, throw the ball to somebody else, turn to your coach and say, call a better play. Figure out a better play for you to get me the opportunity to get that guy the ball, because the best thing that I can do for our offense is to throw it to where the defense is not. You guys have all heard that saying, right? Take what the defense gives you. Well, sometimes they don't give you OBJ open, so that doesn't mean you force it. But it's hard because every day you're I used to have Reggie Wayne. I played with Reggie Wayne, and he used to walk by my locker. And every single time he walked by my locker, he would say, throw left. Reggie stayed on the left side of the field all game. And he would say, throw left, throw left, throw left. And eventually you'd come to line of scrimmage, or I would, and I'd be like, I'm just going to throw this ball to Reggie. And it would end up being a stupid decision at times, but you become so, you know, believing, or you believe so much in their talent that you're like, I'm going to force it to him. Baker, that's his biggest challenge this year. You cannot allow that to enter into your mindset and impact the way you play the game.
Such an interesting piece of all this, I think. Mike Tannenbaum, what do you think? How would you describe the significance of OBJ?
It's huge. He makes the difference for the AFC. He can make the 1 or 2 plays a game that could take Cleveland above Kansas City. He's Tyreek Hill. He's that dynamic. Yeah. And I think the interesting thing, going back to Dominique Foxworth's comments, is would OBJ be happier winning 10-6, getting two catches, or losing a game 49-47 where he has massive production. And as he evolves in his career, hopefully he's comfortable with having just one or two catches for a couple of games. But his explosiveness is impossible to defend.
Yeah. I would Shefty,
go ahead.
No, I would even say, like, that's a huge point that Mike T hits on is, like, Odell needs to understand that his job is not to catch 10 catches a game. That is no longer his role on this football team. He should be top 10 in the NFL in yards per catch. He should go 16 or 17 yards per catch. And his impact is going to be going, hey, I got four or five catches for 110 yards rather than eight catches for 90. Like, it's the chunks that this offense really needs out of Odell.
Not the quality, not the quantity, perhaps, of the plays that he makes. Shefty, as you talk to people around the league, what do you hear as far as expectations for him in particular and for the Browns in general?
Listen, I think there were a lot of questions about whether Odell Beckham Jr. would be back this season, but those questions did not emanate from Cleveland. The Browns always were planning to keep him. He's back today. Today, by being on the roster and reporting to training camp, Odell Beckham Jr. collects a $1 million roster bonus, so it's a good day for Odell Beckham Jr. He gets back from injury. The Browns get back their big play weapon. And this team should be a formidable contender in the AFC, especially if Odell Beckham Jr. is healthy and playing up to the level that Dan and Mike are talking about.
All right, well, I know of at least one person who is hoping that Odell has a monster season. I just wanted to see this because, meanwhile, on planet Earth, Odell Beckham ran into one of his biggest fans anywhere when he was at his youth camp. I want to show you this. Go ahead, Chrissy, roll that. Yeah, check out this haircut. Not only, guys, does this fan have the OBJ initials in his haircut, but he actually has, like, the legendary one-handed catch. That is a level of fandom, Dan, that I think can be really appreciated here.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, if you had, like, the lightning stripes in the side of your head, you thought you were a BA. Now, this kid having this on his head, he's got to be the baddest kid at camp.
Shefty, any thoughts on the haircut?
Yeah, I was hoping that Mike Tannenbaum was going to do something like that for this morning show, put you in his head, Greeny, but I don't know that he had enough hair to do.
Doesn't have enough.
Listen.
Yeah, those days are gone. My question is that Kevin Stefanski's son? That would be the interesting part of the discussion for me.
With Aaron Rodgers giving us something to talk about for the last 2 months, I'd be glad to shave him into my head at this point with the way that whole thing turned out for us. We'll see. One way or the other, hold that tight thought because we got showtime last night in Major League Baseball. Shohei Ohtani doing it all for the Angels against the Rockies. Pick it up. First batter of the game. Ohtani facing Raimel Tapia. And he gets him swinging with a nasty slider. Now we're still in the first, but Ohtani's at the plate. A runner is at second. And that is a base hit. David Fletcher will score, so Ohtani drives in a run. He's getting it done, but he's not done. So now he's at first base. The next batter, Ohtani has 42 stolen bases in his career, but zero as a pitcher until now. Swiping second, he's making an impact in every conceivable way. And then two pitches later, Jared Walsh. That's going to drive in Ohtani from second. Ohtani, the fourth pitcher in the last 30 years with a hit, a run, an RBI, and a stolen base all in the same inning. Top of five, his team is up 2-0. Ohtani still doing the pitching. Here comes Dom Nunez. And there he goes. That's only the seventh home run that Ohtani has given up all season. It's a solo shot, so the lead is cut in half. It's 2-1. Same score, top of seven. Ohtani still in the game, facing Nunez again. The count is 1-2. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, don't even think about it. That's a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Ohtani, seven innings, one run, five Ks. Angels get the win by a score of 6-2. All right, coming up, we got brand new pictures for you here. Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay after having reached an agreement on his future with the Packers. Does that mean all is well? Shefty has the latest. And again, these are pictures from this morning. That is Aaron Rodgers arriving at Green Bay Packers camp, a sight we were not certain we were going to see. We will have the very latest on what that means as we continue in just a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and I've got a variety of questions for Mike Tannenbaum. Let's get right to them here. Mike T, which training camp quarterback battle is the most important in your opinion?
New Orleans, Greeny, and here's why. If Jameis Winston wins this competition, this is a team that can compete for the playoffs this year If somehow, if Taysom Hill wins this competition, this is a team that's going to go into a massive rebuild with a lot of cap issues. There's going to be a ton of pressure on Winston to win this job early.
It feels like if not now, then when for the former number one overall pick. Next, which player has the most to lose in training camp, Mike?
Jimmy Garoppolo. If Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy, wins the job, and they play well, he's going to have a $40 million a year payday waiting for him. If he gets hurt, Trey Lance beats him out, he's headed for Ryan Fitzpatrickville, $10 million a year. There's a $30 million difference on the outcome of this season for Jimmy G.
And that is a lot, so that's a lot of pressure. But I would ask you this, who has the most pressure? Which player is under the most pressure of anybody in the league as camp begins?
Cam Newton, Greeny, and here's why. If Cam Newton plays well, he's the starter on a team that's vastly improved, should compete for the playoffs this year. If he gets beaten out by Mac Jones, Cam Newton's going to be a backup for the rest of his career. The next 6 weeks is hugely consequential for Cam Newton's future.
Yeah, that's another number one overall pick with a lot of questions heading into a very important training camp. That's very well done, Mike T. But meanwhile, I have breaking news, and here's why. Because Aaron Rodgers has arrived at the Green Bay Packers training camp. That is video from this morning, about 40 minutes ago, I am told. And that is a sight I don't think we expected to see. Certainly not today, not this soon. That's Aaron Rodgers walking into camp. We showed you earlier video from a local Green Bay television station of Rodgers arriving in the middle of the night on a private plane and then being driven, we presume, to his home. And now again, arriving this morning, Rob Domofsky, our Packers reporter, told us that the team has a meeting at noon Central time today. We don't know for certain whether Rodgers will be at that meeting or not, but he's in the building. So, Shefty, that's a sight I was not expecting to see on this day. What can you tell us?
Obviously, he's confident that they're going to be able to finalize this agreement this morning, confident enough to fly back to Green Bay in the early morning hours, confident enough to show up at the training facility. And I thought he would wait again till that agreement was finalized and official and in the books. But obviously, Aaron Rodgers feels good enough to just show up there this morning and go in and start preparing for the meeting at noon, training camp tomorrow, and the season ahead. He's back there, and I'm sure that'll be a warm reception he gets from his teammates and coaches.
I'm always on the lookout for subliminal messages with him. I was trying to read the T-shirt. Was it The Office? Could you see it, Danny? Was the T-shirt? I think it was
The
Office T-shirt. Remember, this is the guy who wore the I'm Offended T-shirt when he was promoting the golf match. Let's watch it again. I think that's The Office. Can someone get closer to the screen than I can get? Isn't it? Does that say The Office on it?
Yeah, it
again,
looks like it. Yeah.
We can read absolutely nothing into that if we choose to, but with him, I've been reading tea leaves so long, it's going to be a tough habit to break. Go ahead, Mike T.
Yeah, to Ab's point, I think this is really important to note, which is, as a sign of good faith, a player in this situation says, hey, I'm going to come in, I'm going to attend the meetings. However, I am not going to step foot on the field tomorrow unless every T is crossed and every I is dotted. So when I see a situation like this, really what he's saying, regardless of his T-shirt, is we're close, there's a deal to be done, but right, if there's a bump in the road, I may not practice. And remember, you can't waive fines in the new CBA, but you can have a hold-in, not a hold-out, meaning like Jalen Ramsey last year, his back got tight, he gets traded from Jacksonville to the Rams, he's healthy. I don't expect that to happen, but it bears noting that while he's in the building, we don't know if he's going to practice tomorrow.
Danny, all these months that we've been talking about this, the idea that Aaron Rodgers would just casually stroll into the building all by himself at about 8 o'clock in the morning Central Time on the day the training camp begins was not on the list of things I expected. What is your reaction?
What changed? I really want to know what changed, because for a while it just sounded like, as a veteran guy, he was adamant. Like, he was very outspoken. I know some of it wasn't in his words, but those words were from his reps, his agents communicating. Like, he was unhappy with the organization, unhappy with management, outspoken about the people. He was unhappy about the lack of communication with the draft pick with Jordan Love. He wanted a wide receiver. Like, all those things. And up until a week ago, it seemed like, how is this going to get fixed? What are they going to do? Is there any option? And then all of a sudden, he's at training camp. And I just want to know, like, what exactly? It's not just as simple, or at least in my opinion, Shefty, it's not as simple as, hey, we will review it next year and we will look into trading you after this season. Like, is that literally all it took for him to kind of go back on, well, you can't be that upset about everything that happened if he came back to play?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, Dan, if he holds out and doesn't show up to training camp, which initially was the plan, and he doesn't show up there, does this unfold in a smooth and orderly fashion? What is the end goal? The end goal is for him to be able to control what he wants to do. If he's not there, is he furthering that aim and goal? Is he allowing this process to unfold? Probably not. It probably gets heated. It probably gets personal. Mm-hmm. It probably goes in ways that are unpredictable. So rather than raise all those issues, rather than risk any money, rather than create friction, go in, be there for the coaches you want to be there for, that you love, your players, make it peaceful, set up your departure. And I think ultimately in the end, that's the road that he chose to go down rather than make it combative, staying away, upset the fans, upset his teammates. And I think in the end, when training camp was upon us, when the concessions were offered, when they offered him a way out after this season, I think ultimately he said, it's not perfect. It was never going to be perfect in his mind, but this is the best that I can do at this point in time.
All right, hold that thought. Mike T, I'm coming to you in a minute. Let me break on that thought, and we will come back. We'll finish the show with much more on this. Again, it is an enormous breaking story. Aaron Rodgers has arrived at Packers training camp. Also, an MLS doubleheader is coming your way this Friday night. Orlando City and Atlanta United at 8 Eastern, followed by two of the best in the West, the Galaxy and the Timbers, both matches on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. First Take will follow us now that it appears the standoff between Rodgers and the Packers is coming to an end. Who won, the team or their MVP? That's right out of the box on First Take, following us in 8 minutes right here on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
The 75th annual NBA draft is Thursday from Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Oklahoma State's Cade Cunningham looks to be the consensus number one pick. After that, it's not as clear. You see it all come together. 8 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app. And once more, our breaking news this morning. This video from just about a half hour ago, Green Bay, Wisconsin. That is Aaron Rodgers walking into the facility. Again, it's 25 minutes ago, arriving at the team facility. For those of us who are paying close attention to everything that he wears, because he's used his clothing to make a lot of subliminal messages, that is Kevin from the office spilling chili. That's the t-shirt that he chose to wear today. It's not obvious if there's any message in that or not, but at this point I wouldn't put it past him. Dan Orlovsky running over to do First Take. They're 2.5 minutes away. Again, Shefty, what can you tell us? Many will look at this and say, well, he's there. It must mean they have an agreement and that it is done and that it is signed. What do we know?
The agreement is not signed. It is not officially done, but I think Aaron Rodgers expects it to be done, so much so that he's arrived there on a goodwill, good faith gesture. But that agreement is not officially done yet right now, Greeny. It's not officially signed. Obviously enough to be there to sign it anyway. So he's going to have to show up. So I think he believes it's going to get done. And again, if it's not done, then he just won't practice tomorrow. But I think the sense and belief is it will get done. He is there. He did fly in. So every single sign points to that agreement getting done. But as of this moment, it is not officially agreed to nor signed.
Am I the only one who's just fixated on the ponytail and the sunglasses and the T-shirt? And I'm just trying to get a signal anywhere I can from anything. That's the most casual looking person I've ever seen in my entire life, walking into a day that everyone has been anticipating. So again, his motto is R-E-L-A-X, and he looks like the only relaxed person in this entire scenario. So Mike Tannenbaum, again, we are waiting on the details. Shefty said it perfectly. The devil will be in the details. If they're going to give him some assurance that he's going to be able to dictate his future next season, what are you looking for? What are you waiting to see when we get the details of this deal?
Greeny, it has to be some sort of trigger that if he's on the roster, some massive financial event happens, a guarantee, a roster bonus being paid, something that's going to have to trigger Green Bay to do something. Because without a Greeny, as you and Adam keep saying, we need to see the details, because without that trigger, Green Bay simply could say next year, you know what, Aaron, we changed our mind and here we go again. So we need to see what is going to force Green Bay's hand next year to make them trade Rodgers if that's what he wants.
Hefty, 15 seconds, final word.
Well, again, I think the Green Bay Packers came up with a big victory here. Aaron Rodgers recognized this probably was the best path for him right now, and we'll wait that deal officially getting signed later today.
I think that's exactly right. There's no other way to paint this, assuming it is all as it appears. For Aaron Rodgers to be walking in this morning like that, I think is an enormous win for the entire Packers organization, for all of their fans, and candidly for all of us who like football, because a season without Aaron Rodgers this year would not have been nearly as good. Awesome to get up this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.